on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. You don't have to wait till you get there. Amen. God says we can have it on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. You need to claim that today. You need to draw close to God, closer today. Claim that, because He said it. On earth as it is in heaven. You don't have to wait to get there, to have that praise, to have that peace, to have that love, to have that knowing with God. Amen. He knows you one-on-one. He knows you personally. Enjoy Him as He's enjoying you. Amen. Let your soul pray for that. Joanne, would you bring us into church on this beautiful Sunday in October?
Church of ours, amen. When somebody's hurting, Sergio, we're all hurting. When somebody's afraid, Deacon Gary, we're all afraid. And we come together, amen, because there's power in numbers with God, amen. Because how many have trials and tribulations? And how many need somebody to help them through them trials and tribulations? And I tell you, sometimes it seems like it's every day, and sometimes it seems like you just can't bear it. But in a church, in God's house, we have people to lift each other up, amen? And when you first thing you know that you're not alone, that's the first gift. That's the first thing that gives you hope and gives you life, even here on earth, amen? When you see that you're not alone, just like that show that was on last year with those fellas all left alone. And the thing that got to them more than anything is they were alone in this church, in the body of Christ. We're not alone, Miss Pat, amen? And that's where God's strength begins to well up inside of you, knowing, hey, we're all in this battle together, amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to stand up and pray with me this morning. Thank you, Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, and thine is the glory forever and ever. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Sit and be seated. Relax. And enjoy God's word. Enjoy the church. We got folks visiting all the way from Florida today, brothers and sisters. They drove all the way up just to be with us today. Maybe not just to be with us, but they came in. And Brother Mike is back with us today. Oh, I'm sorry. Hello, Chen. How's baby Chen doing? Walking yet? I'm a guy. What do I know about baby Mike? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. George and Elaine are at a wedding. Elaine's grandson? Yeah. And they bought George a new suit. You know George and Elaine. And they brought him an absolutely beautiful suit. So we all got to ask them when they come back, hey, George, when are you going to wear that suit to church? So we want to see him. Because I'll tell you what, me, I'm telling you, I want to see George in a suit. I've seen him since I was 10. And I've never seen him in a suit. That's worth the price of admission right there. Hallelujah. Chuck and Marilyn are also away at a wedding too. So they're not playing hooky today, but they're out in New York. So we pray for them. Amen. That they have a good time. Let's read together. Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Let's hear of it. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. You do that with me and let us exalt his name together. I'll tell you, when you know that he heard you, you will read that in a way that you never thought. Say, I sought the Lord and he heard me. When you know that you know, that's something you can't hold back. They looked to him and were radiant and their faces were not ashamed. How many of his troubles? Oh. Hallelujah. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Hallelujah. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Hallelujah. None shall be what? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Give him praise and glory this morning, church. I get a chance to say it again, our friends from Florida, we ask for praise and glory all the time in the church because the Bible says that he inhabits the praise of his people. So I believe that if we do according to the word of God, amen, we're walking closer to God. And when we praise him in this church, he inhabits that praise. And I don't know about you, but I love the fact that God is inhabiting our church this morning, amen, because we invited him in, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Prophecy and predictions and a testimony to God. People predict things. You hear a lot about predictions today, amen? And I'll tell you how prophecy and prediction, how serious and how dangerous that can be. There was a man a few years back who predicted the end of time. He had a ministry, had a church like ours, had a church, people coming, and he predicted the day that Jesus would come. That day came and went. And so did the ministry. Because you can't get ahead of God. And when you get ahead of God, people say, well, what else do they believe that's not going to happen? You understand? We have to stay in the Word. The Bible says no man knows the time or the hour. When I was talking to somebody, we like to talk about it, knowing about the rapture, we call it, and it's exciting to think about when he's going to come. But the Bible says no man knows the time or the hour. So when this man predicted that, and the prediction didn't happen, it made him look bad, amen? And it also made people smile and laugh about Christians who believe that, amen? And just like in the world back in the 1970s, and you can look it up yourself, if you look up Time magazine, you'll see that they predicted that in 30 years from 1976, 30 years, that we would be out of food, that growing seasons would be so short in Russia that they would be out of grain, that things on this earth would not be able to sustain itself anymore because of global cooling. No, it's not fine. Because I don't know, amen? I don't know. But I'm telling you, that's what they predicted. And they said in 30 years, well, 1976, I think we've passed that. God bless you, Walter. They predicted that. So when you hear today men predicting, you don't understand that when they predict, it's always, oh, 200 years from now, 100 years from now. And you start to say, well, why are they saying that? Because none of us will be here. So when they found out wrong, you're going to live your life worried about something that's going to happen 200 years from now because somebody predicted something according to science. And everybody knows that science changes. Amen. You know that this once science discovers something, they discover something else on top of that. So science always changes. But our God never changes. Amen. Our God doesn't change, so we can trust Him. Amen. He doesn't make predictions like that. He just says, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. God is saying, you have enough today to be joyful about. Why worry about tomorrow? Why worry about next week? Why start predicting the end of time when you don't know the end of time? Why you start making people worry? And here's the thing that gets me about those people who say that our earth is being destroyed and we're the ones causing it. If that was true, like I said a couple of weeks ago when the Pope mentioned, if that was true, there should have been weeping on the floor of the house. Amen. The people should be on their knees saying, Lord, what do we do? But nobody does anything. The people who have three houses keep the three houses. The people who drive SUVs drive the SUVs. The people who have money don't share their money. You got people making $1 million a day playing a game called baseball. And they don't. I don't see them sharing the wealth. I don't see. You understand? If it was that, if we were that close to the end times because of what we did, don't you think that people would be everything that they can do to stop what's happening? Amen. But nobody's doing anything. The haves continue to have, and the have-nots are the ones they say I have to sacrifice. I remember having a talk with Greg once. And we don't always agree politically, although lately I'm not sure we disagree about much of anything anymore. But I said to Greg and I said, you know, Greg, they're talking about global warming and they're talking about, I said, you and I are driving four-cylinder cars. We go on the highway. He's got a four-cylinder. I had a Camry. I said, we're getting passed by SUVs that are getting bigger than buses. I mean, I said, maybe we should get a rebate from the government for doing our part. I said, well, we're doing our part. We're driving a four-cylinder car. We live in a small house. We use one air conditioner. We try to conserve everything. We should be getting a check from the government. No, but the government keeps telling me, I got to give more. For what? So the other people with the SUVs who won't give them up can continue to have their SUVs. You understand what I'm saying? These people and people who predict this are so far away from God. Amen. It's not anything worth worrying about. Amen. We talk to God when? Every day. We don't have time to worry about 25 years from now. Amen. We pray to Him every day. And if we grow closer to God, and our children grow closer to God, that's the miracle in the life that's going to preserve us later. Amen. If you teach your children, you bring other friends to God, you bring other friends to the Bible, you've saved their life. You've done a lot, amen. You've saved their life and you've given their family hope, amen. You've given them direction, amen. That's all you need to think about. You think about you and God every day and it changes your life. All of a sudden, other things don't matter anymore. God's in my life. I'm going to do everything I can. And God said, listen to what He said. I'll give you the desires of your heart. How many want them? In order to get them, you have to walk through fire. Amen. In order to get them, you have to walk with them. And it's not always going to be an easy path, but He said, come, I'm going to go with you. You're not alone. But I'm going to give you the desires. I'm going to give you a marriage like you never thought possible. I'm going to give you a love. I'm going to give you a family like you never. Look around. Look at the family God is giving us. Amen. Look at the love. If you saw the love of everybody, you come to this church and we start late all the time because I don't want to stop the fellowship. Amen. Because that's what church is. We're not on a clock. I mean, we have to watch the clock, but we're not on a clock. Amen. We're all about God and joy. And when you have that joy, God bless you, Fred. Look out, Dave, you're in the middle. So my testimony is when people predict and they start talking about things, you let them go ahead and do that. And then you turn it off and say, I'm going to talk to God now. Because I got some issues in my life today I want God to help me with. I got issues with my children today. We got that this morning. We got issues with our children. We're all going through things, and the beautiful part is we're all going in it together, amen? And we're not alone, because who's with us? Always. Give him praise. That's a testimony. Hallelujah. People are redefining marriage. And again, I'm not, you know how the Bible says, you know what my thing is, they're redefining marriage, what marriage is. So I think we ought to get together and redefine what religion is. Religion is a belief in something. I think that we need to start understanding that atheism is a religion. And the second we start to realize it, and people say, oh, no, it's not. I say, well, you redefined something we believed in. We're going to redefine what atheism is. It's a religion. Because without calling it a religion, they get to call the shots. Well, you need to take the cross off the green because you need to take in God we trust off it. I say, why? Oh, we're not religious. I say, yes, you are. You have a belief. You have a belief in something. It's just not God. Amen? I don't know why I got me on that, but I just want you to think about that. Think about how if we just can just make the people who know that they have a ministry of unbelief. That's the religion of unbelief. And you have a lot of people out there preaching it. Amen? But the second we can make it stand up and say, that's a religion too, you don't have any more say than we do. You can't take the cross off the green because you don't like it, because you can put a spot wherever you want on the green for Christmas, but you can't take our God away. Amen? Hallelujah. Give him praise, church. Just give him praise. Sorry, honey. You're welcome. Oh, the prayer. Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited. Anybody ever notice I get excited on Sunday? Praise God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. My prayer is that you grab that today. That's my prayer. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He loves you. He knows you. Trust him. Trust him more. And then trust him more. In God, we are safe. In God, we have love. Love heals. Love comforts. Love never fails. His love never fails. It's that simple. The more you know about God, the more you want to know about God. The more he's involved in your life, the more you want him involved in your life. He's not going to change who you are. He's not going to change the things you love to do. He's not going to change the person you are because he loves the person you are. He simply wants to lift you higher than you ever thought possible. He wants to give you more peace than you ever thought possible. He wants you to have heaven on earth. That is his wish for you. In Jesus' name, I pray that you receive it. Thank you, Lord. Your father and your mother. Right here. Number five. You might not have had the mother or the father that I had. Amen? My brothers tell me that I had a father they didn't have. You say, I don't know how to honor my mother and my father for what they did to me as a child. I will tell you this. They brought you into this world. They brought you into this life. That's enough reason to simply honor them. Amen? But the second thing is God chose them to bring you into this world. Amen? He chose them to bring you into this world. And if they failed, then you must rise above to show them how wrong they were. Amen? You honor them by being more than what they said you could be. You honor them by raising yourself up, even though things weren't right when you were a child. You honor them by showing, look what I can do. Thank you. I honor my mother and my father. God's love in your heart must be strong enough for you to first forgive. And then to let his light shine through. Because forgiveness first releases you from the anger and the pain and allows you to what? Move forward. And I ask you this. How many times has our Father in heaven had to forgive you in your life? All the things that you've done. How many times has he forgiven you and looked at you and say, I love you and I've forgiven you? And the Bible says he forgets your sins. He forgets, he throws them in the sea of forgetfulness. That's what the Bible says. Amen. He releases you from your sin and then forgets about it. So I say to you, the first thing we need to do with love is to honor your mother and your father. That's the beginning of love. Say that word with me. It's a great word. Love. How many love? How many are in love? How many know what love means? How many express and feel love? Hallelujah. And how many know that love never fails? Now those against you, those who come against you, I don't like the word enemies, but people come against, how many know people come against you? Hallelujah. How do you prove your enemies wrong? How do you take control of a situation? You do it with love. And I ask you this, do you always try to prove yourself right? Anybody, when something comes against you, do you always, the first thing you want to do is prove yourself right? Somebody hurts your feelings. Somebody says something you know is wrong, yet you remain silent. Let me tell you, that silence, Miss Pat, that's love. When somebody says something you don't like, somebody does something you don't like, and at first you remain silent, that's love. Because love is not puffed up. Amen? Corinthians 13:4. Say that with me. Love is not puffed up. And it does not seek its own. Say that with me. Love does not seek its own. And listen to this. How many know what love is? How many love? You say you love. Love is not provoked. When you love people, you're not provoked by what they say and what they do. Amen? You stay silent. Because you love. The love is more important than getting even. Amen? The love is more important at that moment than making your point come across. Amen? And let me tell you why. Somebody hurt me this week. Somebody hurt my spirit this week. Somebody said something to me. Somebody I love. And I had a choice. Right then and there, I had a choice. I knew I could win the battle, and I wrote that. But I knew that I was standing in the right place to defend myself. Amen? And I knew that I did nothing wrong, and I could respond. But then I said, at what cost? What cost? Oh, I'm sitting there with these people, sitting at a table, and I could respond. And I said, what cost is that? So I love this person. His feelings matter to me. Amen. His feelings matter because that's what love is. Amen. Love is not about how I feel. It's about how the other person feels that I love. Amen. Are you with me? So I love this person and his feelings. And I'll tell you what, it brought me some distress. It made me upset. And it made me upset in my spirit. Amen. I wasn't mad at just my spirit. But I chose, listen to me, I chose love. Say that word with me. Hallelujah. I chose to let God work out the details and not my own needs. Amen. I chose to let God bring it around again what it would be right for me to answer. And I'll tell you, silence allows the other person. It allows the other person to think. They know that they said something to you and they were trying to make a point and you remain silent instead of lashing out and saying what you want to say. And then they, all of a sudden, they have to think. And God, I tell you the truth, God has a way of bringing it back around again when you don't even have to defend yourself, because the more they think about it, the more they realize, maybe I wasn't right to say that. Maybe I wasn't right to feel that way. Are you with me? I chose to let God bring it around again when it would be right. And I ask you this. I ask you this. So you're sitting with people and you're sitting with friends and you have people that you love. Say that word. Love. You love them. And you're sitting here and somebody does something that sort of offends you. What do you do? What's the first thing that you do? And you don't have to answer me. You have to answer yourself. Amen. The first thing that you do. Do you want to say something and get even? Do you want to prove your point? And no matter whatever the cost it is, do you spoil a moment together over something that was really nothing? At the cost of a friendship? Amen? Do you consider the ones you love and how it would hurt others? How it would... I mean, I could have said what I wanted to say, and I know that my bride would have defended me. She don't even know what I'm talking about. I'm telling you the truth. I'm talking to God. She would have defended me, and you know what it would have cost? First of all, that beautiful time that we were having would have been destroyed. Amen? And things would have gotten said. Right, wrong, or indifferent. Things get said. They're not forgotten. Amen? And I don't want to be the one saying those things that aren't forgotten. I know what it's like when somebody says something to me, and they carry that burden the rest of their life. Amen? I know what it's like. I don't want to be that person. You remember when I had the argument? We had an argument with the guy who lives next door to us. And he said some things to me, and I lost it. I mean, I confessed to God, I lost it. And I felt worse about what came out of my lips than what he said to me and all that other stuff. So when I faced this situation, I had two choices. Miss Pat, I could have just said what I wanted to say, and I know that I was right. She would have defended me, and everybody would have defended me. And I'm thinking, at what cost? Because I love this person. And I'm telling you, I love him with all my heart. I love this person. So I chose silence. Amen. I chose to let God. I let God. Hallelujah. Do you consider? And I know that it would have hurt all the people that were there. Amen. It would have hurt people that I love. So I chose to say nothing and let it go there and give it to God. Because it really was nothing. And when nothing becomes something, listen to me what I'm telling you. When you let nothing become something, that's the work of the devil. Amen? That's not love. Amen? That's not. You don't even show love to the person that you love the most when you let nothing become something. Amen? When you continue to do that, you're allowing the devil to control you. Let me tell you about love. Perfection exists where? In heaven. Perfect love often goes against our natural inclinations. You understand that? Perfect love, you want to, somebody says something and you want to be right there. But love says no. Love says do not. Do not. Do not fight. That's what love says. Amen? And let me tell you about this. We succeed when we allow God to lead us. Amen? You succeed. Somehow you understand after you do it more. God does the hard part. You prove those who come against you wrong. Listen to me. You prove those who come against you wrong. And how many want to prove wrong to those who come against you? How many? Y'all want that, right? You want to prove them wrong. Well, you prove them wrong when you allow God to lead you. You prove them wrong when you allow God to take care of the situation. You prove them right when you continue to follow who? You. You prove them right when you lash out over nothing. You prove them right when you say things and you know you shouldn't say them. You say things to be funny and it hurts the people around you. You say things to hurt people. You say things for whatever reason and you say them from you. You prove, oh, that's exactly what I expected. Amen? But you prove them wrong when you let God lead you. Amen? There's nothing they can come back with. Amen? There's nothing that they can say except, wow, that was God. I mean, I can't believe what God is doing. Amen? God does the hard part. Hallelujah. Let me read that again. You prove those who come against you wrong when you allow God to lead you. You prove them right when you continue to follow you. Amen. When you do the same thing you did yesterday and the day before that. Amen. You prove them right. Amen. When you're saying and doing the same things every day and getting the same results, guess what's happening? Nothing. Nothing is changing. But the second you stop and you let God walk with you, things begin to change. Amen. Are you with me? Love. Say that word again. Love. It's a funny word, isn't it? Love. Who do you love? You know who's loving in your heart. What if? I don't want anybody with guilt. And I tell you, if you've got guilt after this, I want you to come to the altar and give it up. Because today is the day the Lord has made and you need to rejoice. Amen. There's no guilt in God. Amen. But I just want your heart to be touched today. What if? What would you do different? What really matters? The daily things that seem to be so important, how important are they? I ask you, how important are the daily things that you do every day? And your complaints, how important are they? Let me tell you, when my wife a year ago fell down and broke her wrist on that green, anybody remember that? It was a year ago, 2 years ago. Train flies. That's love for you. When she fell down and she broke her wrist on that green, let me tell you something. Nothing mattered. Nothing except her. My heart was like in pieces. My brain, my eyes, my jobs didn't matter. The work we had didn't matter. Amen. The car didn't matter. It could have got 4 flat tires. The house didn't matter. How dirty the house was. I'm sorry, honey. I know you like it. The things in life that were so important, everything that was so meaningful, ended right then and there when she fell down and broke her wrist. There was one thing that mattered. One thing that mattered. Her. to be back to whole again. And nothing in my life was going to be the same until she was whole again. Amen? All of a sudden, I understood what love meant. I understood what was important and what wasn't important. Amen? Are you with me? So I ask you, what if we get caught up in life? God keeps trying to show us life, show us what really matters. And He shows us with good success. Hallelujah. Happening in your life. Things are happening. And all of a sudden something happens and things aren't the same for a while. Amen. Then I ask you, what is important? What is love? Amen. Hallelujah. It says that love suffers long and is kind. Say that word with me. Kind. Love is kind. So there's no kindness in retaliation. Amen. There's no kindness in anger. Hallelujah. This is a message of life, and I know it's really deep because it's the greatest of all things. Amen. What is the greatest? Hallelujah. So I say, what would you do? What would you say? How it affects others. And it's funny, there's a song that we sing. You always hurt the one you love. Anybody ever hear that song? And you start to think about that. If somebody came against you, if somebody said something against you, the person that you love would be there with fire in their eyes. Amen? If somebody came against you, the friends would be there with fire in their eyes. Are you with me? They say something, you're on fire. But then you start to think of the things that you say to the person you love. And the things that you do that affect the person that you love. And when you're around other people and you go around other people and you're with them and you do something, it reflects who? All who are with you. Amen? All of a sudden you start thinking, maybe I shouldn't say those things. Maybe I shouldn't worry about those things and just learn how to love the one I am with. See the one I am with in a way that God sees it. And all of a sudden your relationship starts to change. All of a sudden your life starts to change. Your friends start to be coming to you. Other people start to come to you. Why? Because you're expressing what? Hallelujah. We love, we protect the ones we love, yet we ourselves do things to upset the one that we love. Amen. If things were taken away from you right now, how much of what is important to you would be so unimportant to you? Do you understand? The beautiful things that God has given us, love, the people in your life, the family in your life, that's important. Those are the things that are important. Those are the things to nurture. And again, I'm going to tell you, if you have guilt, then leave it right here at the altar. Because God is saying to you, today is the day I have made for you. Rejoice and be glad in it. What does it say? Be glad in it. So the guilt has to go. And I would say, yesterday is gone. Give thanks to the Lord for all you have. And I would say, let love, His love, fill you. Love performs. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. How many want a miracle in your life today? How many want it? Let me tell you, love performs it. Love begins the performance. Love brings peace. Love brings joy. Hallelujah. And love brings a promise. Love brings peace, joy, and a promise. Now listen to me. Love, you go home and you start loving like God said. You start forgetting the things that annoy you, because who said you could be annoyed? Amen. You love that person. So you shouldn't be annoyed. You should learn to change. You should learn to work with them. Amen. And that's both sides. And that's what your family and your friends. Amen. Love conquers everything. Love brings peace. And let me tell you about peace. It brings healing. Peace brings healing for you and for other people. Amen. I could have destroyed a friendship this week. I mean, I could have made it so that everything would have never been the same again. But I chose love, because love brings peace, and that peace brings healing. Amen. And healing brings healing to your body. Whose body? Your body. Healing. You say, well, divine healing. Absolutely. When you have peace and you go, this is not, your body is healing. Amen. And it brings joy. And what does joy bring? It brings hope. How many want to have hope? I want to have hope for tomorrow. Bill, I know you want to have hope for tomorrow. So the joy in God brings that hope, and you know it as well. I know you do, brother. I know. Joy brings hope. In who? In God, not in you. Amen? And let me tell you what love brings is promise. And you say, Pastor, what promise? It's promise. The promise, when you act like God and you give God love and you give that kind of God love, the promise is God being able to prove His word to you. To who? To a church? No. To a denomination? No. To who? When you, yes, you do. Love brings a promise. And you're allowing God to prove His word to you, Dale. To you. When you love, like it says in Corinthians. And I will say this, love is the one, love, the one you love is a reflection of you. They are a part of you, so what you say and what you do also falls on them. So the next time you want to say something or do something, or you think you want to lash out, understand that the person you love the most and the people around you that you love the most are going to be reflected on what you say and what you do. Amen. When you're with your wife or you're with your husband or with your family, understand what's really important. Amen. I understand you want the house clean. I do, because my house is beautiful. I understand, but what's really important? Being with somebody, spending that time with somebody, having time to share, going out to dinner, going out to lunch, sitting or outside on the bench looking at the sunshine. What is important? The important thing is love, amen? Because everything else would become so unimportant the second you think that's being taken away from you, amen? The second she fell down, everything else in my life ended for that, because I loved her and I needed her to be whole again, amen? And that's what love is, amen? With your friends, with your family, that's the kind of love, because that love never fails. Say that with me. It never fails. Hallelujah. You always hurt the one you love. Thank you, Lord. Even in your sleep. I had a dream the other night. I was running and I accidentally kicked her in with my heel. And she woke me up. What kind of love is that? She said it always hurt. A lot of people understand what I'm saying. I understand. And I want you to understand what love. That love never fails. Amen. That kind of love. And let me tell you, it proves your enemies wrong when you act like that. You show them a different side of you. You show them God. Amen. You show them that God lives in your life. You show them that you can rise above, because love is what you believe. How many believe in love? I hope you do. Thank you, Lord. One little paragraph, and we'll be all done. Love suffers long and is kind. What is it? Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Those three words right there, brothers and sisters, if you can just hold on to, is not provoked. You can't provoke me because I love you. Love thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity. Does not seek its own. Oh, right there. There's five more words that if you just carry. Love does not seek its own. Is not, hallelujah, does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Listen to this. Love bears all things. How many things? Truly does. Believes all things. How many things? Hopes all things. How many things? And endures all things. Brothers and sisters, love never fails. I pray today that you learn and you can leave here today with more love in your heart for your friends and for your family and for your church and for your wife and for your husband and for your children in a way that they won't even understand. Amen? Because love, His love, never fails. Give Him praise and give Him. This is the day you have a chance to start love all over again, amen? Go for a ride with somebody you love. Look at the foliage. Take somebody out to lunch. Do something. Start talking. Sit at the table later. Just share love together. Take this chance, amen? Take this chance to enjoy some kind of love. Call a friend up you haven't talked to and say, I love you. I miss you. Talk to somebody that maybe you were mad about something happened a year ago. Call them up and say, hey, I miss you. Can we talk? Let's just talk about stuff. Let's just find out what's going on in your life. Talk about, share love with people. Let God control. Let God get involved in all that. Amen. Because love never fails. And after you've done that, and maybe you didn't get the result you want, you know that you did it whose way? His way. And you know your body's going to feel, what? I didn't get the response I wanted, but I know that I did something different. I know that I'm walking with the Lord. I know that I'm trying. And it's a good day to start. Amen. It's a good day to rejoice. It's a good day to put a smile on your face and say, trials and tribulations are with me, but today God is with me, and I'm going to enjoy this day. Amen. Hallelujah. Give him praise. Church is important, but receiving that word is what it's all about. Knowing that it's between you and who? You and God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. This is a time to pray, a time to reflect, and a time to say thank you. Ask him for things in your heart. God wants to know the desires of your heart. Talk to him. You talk to him. Hallelujah. He took that bread, blessed and broke it, told his disciples to eat, and he said to do this in remembrance of me, for this is my body that will be torn for you. Hallelujah. In this church, we remember Jesus. Hallelujah. Name above all names. Hallelujah. The power in the name of Jesus. There's love in the name of Jesus. There's peace in the name of Jesus. Sometimes just saying that name is the only prayer you need to say. Just call out to him. Say, Lord, I'm lost, but help me. Just talk to him. He knows your name. You call somebody today that you haven't talked to, don't start with apologizing. Say, look, I really miss you. They want to know what's happening in your life. Can we just talk? Can we get past whatever it was? Because you just say to God, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done to you. I'm sorry, Lord, that I pulled away from you. I'm sorry, Lord, that I didn't trust you. And then you go and let God lead you. Let God have that part. Sometimes when you open your heart to love, you're going to open your heart up to rejection. Amen? But understand who got rejected. It was Jesus. So accept that. Just knowing you're doing God's work. And you gave love. Because love is freely given. And nothing is expected in return. That's his kind of love. All the love he gives, freely given. All the merits of favor, all the blessings, freely given. Hallelujah. The mercy that he shows, freely given. Hallelujah. Amazing grace, unmerited favor, freely given. That's the love we need to share with others. Because of what Jesus did on that cross, we are free to give in Jesus' name. Jesus said, you're forgiven. Sometimes the first step is accepting the forgiveness. And that frees you to walk with God and not walk again in the darkness. He took the wine and poured it into a cup, saying, this is my blood being shed for you, for the remission of your sins. That means we're covered in his blood. He gave his life to clear your name. And simply ask that we do this in remembrance of him on this beautiful day. Thank you, Tito. book of Corinthians, it talks about so many things. It talks about so many blessings and so many gifts. But it says at the end, the greatest of these is love. It says, without love we have nothing. Love heals your body, heals your mind, sets you free, removes, it does move distress. Not really in the Bible, but how many times have you heard the expression, silence is golden? Because you don't say what you feel. Because God doesn't care about your feelings. He cares about your heart. He cares about you and your soul. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes being silent is being Jesus. Is acting on faith. He will see you through. He will make right what you think is wrong if you allow Him. See, the second that you speak, you remove Him from being able to take care of that situation, and now you have another situation that you caused. Praise God. Just trust Him. Trust Him. Know what is important in your life today. Say, if something was taken away, if that person was taken away today, what would you do different? What would you say that I wish I had done? Well, today you have that chance to do it. Today is the day you can do it. Say, I love you. I might make mistakes and I might aggravate you, but I love you. Today. With love, there's no regrets. Hallelujah. What He did for us was the greatest gift of all. His love for us. Amazing grace. What He did on that cross set us free. In Jesus' name. Church, would you thank Him this morning? You all thank Him. Say, Lord, thank you for this day. From this day, thank you. Help me to walk towards you, Lord. Give Him praise, church.